Beyond the Beauty is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Bobby Brown.
I first heard about Marianna Hewitt through her Summer Fridays launch. I didn't know who she was before. And when I saw the products and kind of checked out who she was, I thought, wow, this is a cool girl. And we kept in touch. And she asked me to be on her podcast, which I was so happy to, one of her first guests. And I'm really looking forward to asking her what it's like being an influencer, having a brand, and how she gets it all done. So here's my conversation with Marianna Hewitt. Hi, Marianna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Last night, I made the date sweets that I saw on your Instagram last night. They were so good.
They're so good. I am not really a great cook, to be honest, but I just wanted like a snack. And I was like, I may as well show this on Instagram because people are loving Reels right now. And I feel like a lot of people are having like really stagnant growth and people are really growing a lot the more frequently they post on Reels. So I was like, I'm just going to throw this up and see what happens.
Well, it was honestly really good. It was perfect timing. I wanted something sweet. I don't want to eat a cookie. And so for those guys that are listening, it's basically, tell us what's in the date.
It's so easy to make a date pitted, put it in the microwave for like 15 seconds, almond butter, sliced banana, and cinnamon.
Delicious. Oh, I mean, it was so silly simple and delicious, and it worked perfectly. So thank you. Keep those coming. So we've just met each other recently. I've been in awe of your product line. My kids love the products, the girlfriends, the fiancés. And I'm a really big fan, but I want to understand how you even started Summer Fridays. Like take me back. Like what were things like for you?
So I've been living, I guess, my life on the internet since 2012. That's when I started my YouTube channel. And I always had a love and passion for beauty products. And from years of posting product online, every time I would post something, people would say, is this cruelty-free? Is this vegan? Is this safe for all skin types? Or this product's too expensive? And so accidentally, we had all of this data for so many years of what my followers online were shopping for. And so for me, when my skin looks good, I feel my most confident and I wear less makeup when my skin looks its best. When my skin looks good, it's like the perfect skin prep for everything else. And so my partner, Lauren, and I dreamed up Summer Fridays, which is our product line. And we really wanted to start with one hero product. And really at the time, a lot of brands weren't launching with only one product because it's high risk, high reward. But it's very risky because if you don't succeed with your first product, that could really be the end of your business. If you put all of your money into this thing and you don't have a second product come out for a long time and it's not working, it's definitely really hard. But we felt so confident in it. So Jet Lag Mask was our firstborn. It's multi-use moisturizer, overnight mask, hand cream, eye cream. And then in a time when a lot of products on Instagram were like kind of like that millennial pink color and everything was kind of looking the same, we had picked a bright blue tube and really that made it stand out in a sea of products online and helped a lot of the brand recognition at the, you know, in the earlier days.
Start before that. Did you grow up in California?
I grew up in Ohio. So that's where I'm from, the Midwest. I was born in Germany. My parents work for the government, so we moved around from Germany to California to Ohio. So that's really where I was raised. And I lived there with my dad and my mom lived in Europe, so I would go back and forth. So at the very early days, my introduction to beauty, my dad would take me to the beauty counters at department stores and he would say, here's my daughter. I don't know how to tell her how to do her makeup, so can you please help her? And I always really trusted the women, the saleswomen, as my, you know, guidance and beauty of what to buy, what their recommendations were, and how to use product. And so I feel like I was always learning from experts. And, you know, even though I don't work at a sales counter, I feel like I now get to do that same kind of thing being an influencer.
But you were also a TV host, is that correct?
Yes. So growing up, I wanted to be Oprah, like so many people love her. And I felt like I had such a passion for sharing things with people. And I thought being a TV host was the only way to do that. So went to school, did that. I first was doing entertainment news, which I feel like didn't really fulfill me. But I transitioned into doing fashion and beauty news. And that's what I found I loved, because I found with beauty and fashion, you are sharing information with an audience of things that really made them feel more confident about themselves. It wasn't gossipy. It wasn't hurtful. It was really like, these are great products. And if you find them and you love them, you'll feel even more confident in your skin or when you're going to a meeting or date or whatever it is. And so that's really where I fell in love with that. And then when I was doing my hosting at that time, I would post a video and people would say, where's your shirt from? Or how did you do your hair today? Or what makeup are you wearing? And it started to become less about the topics I was talking about and more about myself. And so I was like, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. And that was in 2012. And that's really where my career started, as being an influencer, kind of by accident.
Well, we certainly didn't know what an influencer was back then. And really all an influencer is someone who has influence over people's decisions, buying, all of that. So what did you like better? Did you like the blog better? Did you like the TV better? And didn't they work really well together?
They worked really well together, because I think for beauty specifically, video content really is king, right? Like I can talk about a lipstick, but if you're not seeing the swatch or seeing the product or seeing me apply it, I can only tell you so much. And so I think even if we look at social media on Instagram, product shots are great, but like really application videos is where it's at. And so I think for beauty, video really is like the best form of media. And so I really, really enjoy that. It's just a lot of work.
So you've been called one of the very first super influencers. So how did you know you made it? And how does that term sit with you?
I don't really ever know if you feel like you make it, because in beauty, I guess in all kind of industries, but when you're an influencer, you compare yourself to your coworkers in a weird way with a tangible number. So you see your number of followers, but your coworkers or people that you work with in the same industry, you also visibly see all of their numbers too. So there's always someone bigger than you. There's always somebody doing more than you. So it's really hard to know if I ever felt like I made it. But once I could support myself full-time financially, no longer from my former job where I could do influencer stuff full-time, I guess I was like, okay, I'm really doing this. And my parents are much older. My mom is 70. My dad is in his 80s. So explaining to them that I was doing this job full-time, they were like, "What? You're posting stuff on the internet. This is not why you went to college." And now they're like so supportive of it. And then the word super influencer, it's a very funny thing, and it's so nice to be called that, because I do think I was at the earlier stage of, you know, when influencers started, before it was really known as a career, because I think now people see influencers and they say, I want to be an influencer as a job. So they're aspiring for that career. But at the time when I started and so many of my close friends, we didn't know that it was going to become what it is today. We didn't know that it could be a full-time job. We really did it out of passion of like loving product and loving sharing stuff with people. And so it's a very nice thing to be called. It's just like kind of funny.
I think it was about 5 years of you being an influencer and growing your personal brand and that brand until you started the cosmetics company. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I launched my YouTube channel in 2012. And then in 2016, my business partner, Lauren, and I came up with the idea for Summer Fridays. It didn't have a name yet at that time, but that we wanted a skincare company. And we didn't launch until 2018. So by the time we launched, I'd been online for 6 years. So that's 6 years of really building trust with my community online and really talking about products for so long. So when I launched something, they knew it was genuine, because I think a lot of people now are randomly starting companies and it seems like, which is fine if it's a business idea for you, but I think if you're just doing something just to do it and you've never talked about this topic before or you're not really passionate about it, the inauthenticity will not carry you for a very long time. So I think if you're starting a business, you need to really truly be passionate about it. And if you're leveraging your community online to do it, I hope that it's something that you've been passionate about and genuinely sharing for a very long time.
Your business partner, was she a friend? Did she have things you didn't have? What made her your partner?
So we've been friends for 10 years and we have a very similar career path. We're both from the Midwest. We both went to school for journalism. We both wanted to be Oprah when we grew up. We're neighbors. We're Libras. So I know a lot of times people say when you want to look for a co-founder, look for someone who has the opposite traits of you. But for us, we have a really similar skill set, but we have same and different audiences. So when we're approaching product development and marketing, it's ultimately the same type of customer we're going to, but with two different points of views. And so she came really more from like a wellness background. And so we were looking at our clean ingredients. She was pregnant when we were starting to work on the brand. the two of our expertise really helped like meld together to like what Summer Fridays became. And so it's amazing. I'm so grateful, but I would say to anyone looking to start a business with a co-founder, it is like a marriage. You want to know exactly what you're getting into before you partner with somebody. You need to know them really well. You need to know what it's like to work together and really think about it before you go into a partnership together, because running a business together is no joke.
When you launched originally, did you launch just direct to consumer or did you launch with Sephora?
We did launch with Sephora.
And it was humongous with so much press and you sold out. So could you tell us about that?
So that was really unexpected. I mean, we felt really confident with the product and the brand, but I don't think we knew it would become as big as it did, as early as it did. And so we launched in March of 2018 and shortly after that sold out, which selling out the first time, it's cool, right? But then afterwards, it's an issue. And we were so small. I think we had one consultant and one employee at that time, and we were trying to rush to restock because we wanted to capitalize off of the great press. And so it was kind of like ping pong for a bit. We would have a little bit of stock on our site, then we would sell out. And then by the time Sephora got their shipment, they would sell out. And it went like that for a while. And we had that first product for almost 7 months before we launched our next launch.
And do you remember what the first order was? Like, how many did you order when you first launched?
Well, I'll say that when we first were going to launch, we had a unit number in mind. We produced those units. Sephora came on board and it like multiplied. And we were like, I don't know how we will ever sell this many units of something. And then when we sold out of it, it was disbelief. And we recently just shared on our Summer Fridays Instagram that we have now over 1 million units sold.
Oh my gosh.
To think that more than 1 million times now, someone decided to purchase a product from us is mind blowing. And we can't believe it thinking about how few we were originally producing at the beginning. So it's been so incredible. And we are so grateful for our community and our customers.
And how many SKUs do you have now?
Ooh, now we have like 6 or 7. So it's still a pretty small assortment.
That you have gotten so big and you've stayed 6 or 7 units. Do you know how unusual that is?
I think, you know, coming from an influencer point of view, I get so many products every single day. I have boxes that come to my door. I open them up. There's 30 products in each box. I don't even know where to begin because the assortment is just so large that I'm overwhelmed as an influencer. I don't even know what to share. And so that's kind of where a mentality came from of like fewer products, fewer launches, and then a lot of support around each launch until we could really sustain, you know, a bigger pipeline for us. And so at the beginning, it was really easy for us to manage as a small team with only, you know, 2 SKUs in our first year. And, you know, we do have to grow. So we are having more products come out. So I'm excited for our 2021 lineup, but it's been really, really helpful for us to have all the concentration on one thing at a time.
But I do think curated brands end up doing incredibly well if they're done right. So I bet you there's going to be a new model because, you know, in the past, it's like, okay, we need more, we need more. The retailers want more, the customers want more. And all of a sudden you've got, you know, 50, 60 SKUs, and then you've got things laying around that you haven't sold. So that was, you know, something that you're not going to have to deal with, which is amazing.
The only problem with that comes is if a launch isn't successful and you forecasted for that launch to do so well, and then you have months that go by without a new product launch, it cannot be great. So everything has to be really, really, really good. And you have to feel 100% confident about each of those launches, because if not, you could go a whole quarter and really have a decrease in sales if it's not a great launch.
And do you think being an influencer has given you any special insights into marketing and what is the right thing to do for your brand?
Absolutely. Because I'm a salesperson, right? That's what an influencer is. You're influencing people to either try something or make a date for a snack or buy a product or go somewhere. And so I've learned how to genuinely show a product. I've learned how to speak about talking points, not in a marketing type of way, but as a friend type of way. And it's like the modern day Avon lady, right? Like she used to come to your house, talk to you like a friend, sell you these products. And that's really what we're all doing now in our own way. And so it's so helpful. And then I think being an influencer, we share product online and we really know how to photograph it and speak about it. And so that really helped with like the aesthetic part of the branding, because we wanted photogenic packaging that looked good on Instagram that people wanted to share, because I used to receive product that I love so much and I didn't love the packaging, so I didn't want to post it on my Instagram. And that's so, so important. That's why with your brand, I love the packaging. It stands out so well. The brand name is so easy to see. I love the black and white. And so I feel like packaging is so important, because especially now if people aren't shopping in store, the only way they're seeing product is online. So you've got to get them with the imagery and with the video, or else they're never even going to get to the chance to order or sample or try in store.
And I am someone that doesn't do paid influencers. You know, I call them my FOBs, friends of Bobby I send to. Do you pay influencers or is it just your friends?
We do. So we pay people because I say, you know, Lauren and I are both influencers and we really value the job that we have and we know how much value we can bring to other brands. And so if we say we value our job as influencers for other people, why would we not value that job for our own company? And I could pay X amount of dollars for a billboard or a magazine ad. I have no sense of tracking. I don't know what kind of return I got on that. But if I spend money with an influencer, I'm getting content in return. I have some sort of tracking. I can give them a Bitly tracking link to see how many swipe ups they had, how many clicks they had. If you give somebody a promotional code, you can see how many sales they, you know, converted on your website. So there's so much more data that you can have when you're working with an influencer. And so it is something that we wanted to do and, you know, really increasing that with our spend in influencer marketing, especially as we're not able to use that marketing budget on in-person events right now.
And then, and what about you? How do you decide who you should, you know, work for? Because you must get constantly requested.
I'm pretty selective. I would say I turn down at least 90%, if not more, of the jobs that come my way. Either it's not a fit or it's a competitive brand or product, or I don't think it will resonate with my audience. I have been doing this so long now, I have a pretty good sense of what my audience wants to buy. And a lot of times a brand will come to me and it's a lot of money. But I'm like, I don't think my followers will buy this product. And so I'm doing you a disservice. And you have to be really honest with the brand. If you don't think you can deliver, don't work with them and disappoint them. And so I'll turn down jobs if I don't think it's the right fit for my audience. And now there's so much more you can do with Instagram stories. So it doesn't have to live on your feed. So I'm able to do a lot more work. And I still love doing it. And so that's why I'm still doing influencer work plus Summer Fridays.
How do you tell someone that you don't want to post their things? So you get so much in the mail. How do you decide what to post and what not to post?
So when brands and people reach out to me for gifting, I'll just email back and say, like, I politely decline. I'm so overwhelmed with product. If I don't think I'm going to share it or use it, I don't want to take it away from you if you could gift this to somebody else. And most people respond back and say, like, thank you so much for your honesty. It's not that I don't like the product. It's just like, I can't use that. I have so many things. I don't want to be wasteful. And like, I'm living at home, working from home right now. I can't have so much clutter here. And then as far as like not passing on working for brands, I do have a manager. So any like brand deals goes to my agency. They bring me the offers. And if it doesn't work for me, they have an amazing roster of talent. And so they can pass it on to somebody else who may be a better fit. And so they kind of handle all of that.
Well, I can't even imagine how much you have, because I get so much sent to my office. And, you know, truthfully, I keep very little of it. I share with the girls in my office. I share with my daughter-in-laws. I'm pretty minimalistic when it comes to what I use. And then I donate a bunch of it to families that have girls in school and, you know, can't really afford makeup. What do you do with yours?
I donate it. But because of COVID, a lot of the places in LA that I usually donate to, they are not accepting donations right now. So it's kind of all piling up at the office. I bring a basket over there and keep it there. And it's also like a great job perk of hopefully when we go back to the office, eventually there's a table and any of the girls that work for us are like free to take those products and they make for great holiday gifts. So everyone's getting lots of beauty products from me.
And what do you think is the best advice you got when starting Summer Fridays?
The best advice I got was celebrate the moments along the way because things move so quickly that you're almost forgetting when they happen that these things are big because you get so used to things, right? Like now I still pinch myself when I walk into a Sephora and see our products, but nothing is like that first time. When I went in, I saw it was sold out, so I didn't actually see the product. It was just like our brand name, but I still was like crying in store because I couldn't believe it was possible. And so those moments along the way, all those tiny things, even small wins, like really remembering and celebrating those moments because there's a lot of hard times and a lot of hard moments when you're running a business and really, you know, celebrating those moments, not only with yourself, but with your team. It's so special. And so I have to like consciously like remember and tell myself like, okay, this is a big deal what we did today. Like we worked so hard for this. Like let's all celebrate with this and not just like move on too quickly.
And do you have any plans to expand categories like makeup, for example?
You know, being beauty influencers, we're not just, you know, if you're a hairstylist and you come out with a hair care line, it makes sense to stay in hair. But because we're beauty influencers, we've talked about so many categories, you know, throughout the years from hair care, body care, makeup, sun, all of the things. So our community online, we have a really close relationship with them and they're always asking us for new things. So we definitely have some things that are in the works, but we will see when they actually launch.
Okay. And so what do you think is next for the brand? And then what is next for you?
So what's next for the brand? We have a really incredible lineup for 2021 that we are so excited about. So I can't wait for these things to come out next year. And we have such an incredible team of employees now. And so now we have really a proper marketing team to help support these things. And so very excited for that. And then for me personally, I launched a podcast. You were on it.
Loved the experience. And you've done a phenomenal job promoting it. And I've listened to a bunch of them. You're very good at it.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you were on. People loved your episode. And so that's been really great for me because I feel like I have such a great network of friends of people and not everyone has access to people who they can learn from. And so if I can share my network of friends and the questions that I want to know or the questions my followers want, it's such a great way to give back and inspire people, especially in the new year. And I think especially with this year, so many people are thinking about their careers, what they want to do in the future, what's important to them. And so if this can inspire someone or motivate somebody, I really, really love it because thinking back to the days of TV hosting, it's another way of communicating and sharing things with an audience. And I feel really fulfilled from it. And so I'm really, really enjoying it. And then influencer life, we'll see, you know, like we were still spending in influencer marketing this year, but a lot of brands cut back and a lot of brands didn't have the budgets that they used to this year. So as an influencer, you know, our jobs changed a lot this year. We had to become more creative in our projects, what we did. And so I'm hopeful for next year because a lot of my friends had a really tough year, you know, financially because a lot of the jobs that they used to work, they weren't able to do them. And so hopefully a lot of brands will come back strong next year.
Well, this podcast is called Beyond the Beauty. And so I always ask everyone the same simple question, which is what does beauty mean to you?
To me, it's really all about whatever makes you look good and feel good. And I know that you've talked before about like not really following beauty trends, but like less is more and whatever works for you. So if no makeup, makeup is good for you or a full glam look or whatever it is that makes you feel your most confident, do you. Don't follow trends. Do whatever it is that makes you feel good because for me, some days, bare skin, I feel my best when my skin is looking good. And another time, I want like a full face of makeup and a lash and a contour and all the things. And that's when I feel my best. And so I think with beauty, you can be so many things. You can try so many looks. And whatever I'm feeling that day is what makes me feel my most confident, which makes me feel beautiful.
What's your everyday skincare routine?
My everyday skincare, Summer Fridays CC Me Serum in the morning is incredible. It's for hyperpigmentation and dark spots. I follow up with moisturizer, SPF every single day. That's pretty much it. I've been pretty like minimal makeup in quarantine. I love Armani Beauty Luminous Silk Foundation is like the best. I love the Jones Road Miracle Balm. It's so pretty. I just like apply it to my cheeks, a little bit to my lips, like an all over flush of color. I love, love, love creamy products. And like those things enough are alone for me to like look okay on Zoom.
And what's the most recent beauty purchase? What did you actually spend money on? Oh,
the most recent beauty purchase. I'm looking behind me to see what's on my counter. I'm trying to think. Oh, I bought a new Koki, I think that's how you say it. It's like a summery scent. I love fragrance and I'm always like spraying things on me and they have like a summery coconut smell. So I just bought it. So anything that smells like summery and sweet, kind of like that Summer Fridays feeling, I love. And so fragrance is one of the things, even though no one's really smelling me, like I'm not going anywhere, I still like put it on even for myself at home.
And what's your guilty pleasure?
Ooh, I love to eat. So food is really like my like love in life. Like I really, really look forward to a yummy meal. And I've been postmating a lot. I say all the time, I'm not really a great cook. So supporting local restaurants, ordering food to go from them. And really food makes me so happy.
What's the most delicious thing you've eaten? Not the healthiest, but the most delicious.
Ooh, well, if I was in New York, Carbone, the spicy penne is incredible. I have tried to make it at home by myself. It's really not the same, but I love a spicy penne vodka sauce pasta. It's just like amazing. And then I could eat like a whole box of Oreos by myself.
And do you have a favorite cocktail?
I am honestly not really drinking that much at home. I was really a social drinker like pre-quarantine. Like I love to go to events and have a glass of wine and go to dinner and have wine. But if I'm just at home by myself, I haven't really been drinking. And so this year, my skin and my body is probably really thanking me from giving it like a nice break.
Oh, well, better girl because of it. Haven't done that yet, but better because of it. So I have really enjoyed talking to you. I've really enjoyed seeing you. You're a doll. I'm really proud of you. I see a lot of cool things for you in the future.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. And again, I am so thankful that you came on my podcast. People love the episode and I keep seeing them tagging you and stuff. And so I really appreciate it and appreciate really what you do for all aspiring beauty entrepreneurs and people who are starting out in the industry. I said it when you came on my podcast, you really paved the way for women in beauty and myself and so many people are thankful for what you did for so many of us.
Well, anytime you've got my cell, you can DM me and tell everyone who's listening where they can hear your podcast, where they could find you, all of that.
You can follow me at Mariana_Hewitt, MARIANNA_HEWITT. And my podcast is Life with Mariana.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you.
Be well,
be healthy, and I will see you as soon as this is over.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.